You know, when people are like, well, if you study doctrine, you won't shout. No, doctrine is what causes us to shout. Amen. And so Article 1 dealt with the Trinity. We believe in the Trinity. Article 2 dealt with, you go ahead and bring the sermon title on up. Article 2 dealt with the person of the Son of the Son of God. Article 3 dealt with the resurrection. He's alive. Amen. Yes. Article 4 dealt with the person of the Holy Spirit. Article 5 dealt with what we believe about the Bible. 66 books. Route 66. Amen. Article 6 dealt with eternity. Article 7, the blood. And we sung about that. Amen. Yes. Article 8 dealt with by faith alone. Not saved by works, but by faith alone. Article 9 dealt with the sanctification, the instant part. And Article 10 dealt with the lifelong part. Article 11, the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Article 12, divine healing. Oh, praise God. Now, if that don't make you shout, amen. You know, I thought about all these articles can be summed up in this. If that isn't love. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise tonight? Amen. So Article 13, if you want to put that on the screen for us, my brother, thank you. Article number 13, I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. It says, we believe, somebody say, we believe. In the imminent, personal, premillennial second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And love and wait for his appearing. Now, I want you to keep that up there for a minute, because let me unpack that real quick and then I'm going to jump on into it. The word imminent. We believe in the imminent coming of the Lord. That word imminent plainly means it's about to happen. Jesus Christ is about to come. We believe in the personal coming of the Lord. He himself, for the Lord himself. He's not sending an angel to come pick us up and take us. The Lord is going to step into time and already from eternity. And then the premillennial second coming. Now, let me explain that to you. The word millennial means a thousand. A millennial. So there is going to be 1,000 years, according to Isaiah, according to the book of Revelation and other scriptures, 1,000 years where King Jesus will take over this earth. He will be president. He will be resident. He will be prime minister. He will be potentate. He will be the pope. He will be the bishop. He will be the king. He will rule from Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, which will be the capital of the world, for 1,000 years on earth. This isn't in glory by and by. This is right here. So these folks that want to march around in pride, and these folks that want to kill babies, there's a new sheriff coming in the millennial reign. And the lion shall lay down with the lamb. And they shall learn war no more. But here's the deal. We believe that before the 1,000 years comes, that the Lord is coming for his church premillennial, before it starts. And so what we basically are saying in Article 13 is we believe in what's called the rapture. Somebody say the rapture. Now, in other words, the Lord has come to the world when he became a baby. And someone asked recently, what in, with all that's going on, what is this world coming to? I don't know what this world is coming to, but I know who is coming to this world. He came the first time, and praise God, he's coming the second time. Would you give him a hand of praise here tonight? Soon and very soon. Would you stand with me tonight as we read Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and also 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. If you're glad to be here tonight, say amen. Amen. Alrighty. Has everybody got it? Say amen. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means die. But we shall all be changed. Now just stop right there. We shall not all sleep. Everybody dies. That is a fact. And a course of nature. Moses, the Lord said to Moses, come up to the mount where you will die. Everyone has died except for two people. And that is Enoch and who is the second? Well, who? Elijah. That's right. So everybody else. But it says in this scripture, we shall not all die. There are going to be some people that are going to be alive when the Lord comes, who will not die, who will not be buried. Oh, hallelujah. I'm planning to be a part of that. Amen. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, verse 52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, those who have died, and we shall be changed. Why people don't believe in the rapture, I'll never figure it out. Because they don't want it to happen. That's why. Because they're carnal. I hate to say that. They're carnal. They love this world and they love their sins. But that's strong preaching, isn't it? Amen. I mean, you know, I got a boat down at the beach and I got, you know, recreation and I got, you know, all of this and that. No, I'm ready for the Lord to come. I don't care about a boat at the beach. Amen. I don't mind having a boat down there, but a mansion in the sky is even better. Amen. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Let's go ahead to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and here is what we believe. For the Lord himself, there it is, we believe in the personal. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a what? And the voice of the archangel with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, there it is. And remain shall be caught up. Somebody say caught up. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore do what? Comfort one another with these words. Now, Father, I thank you tonight for the coming of the Lord. For the blessed assurance and the blessed hope. For being rapture ready. I pray you would anoint your servant to preach tonight. Help us to live it. Help us to proclaim it. And help us to be ready when it happens. And we'll give you all the praise. And everybody said amen. As you're being seated, tell your neighbor, neighbor, I'm going to tell you how not to miss the rapture. How not to miss the rapture. Say that with me. How not to miss the rapture. Can we miss the rapture? You better believe you can. There is an event that is soon to happen where news organizations will say we interrupt this program. Millions have seemingly disappeared without a trace. There's coming an event where airplanes piloted by Christians will drop from the sky. Cars driven by Christians will veer off their courses. Interstates will become backlogged. Shopping mall security cameras will see people walking and all of a sudden vanishings unexplained into thin air. Churches will be having worship somewhere in this world. And poof, the sanctuaries will be empty or almost empty. Babies, 1 minute will be in their mother's arms. The next minute, the swaddling clothes will fall to the ground. There'll be people at funerals at the graveside. When the rapture takes place, suddenly all this dirt just kicks up and dirt everywhere. And when the dust settles, that grave will be open and that grave will be open and that grave will be open. It's the rapture and it's about to happen on the calendar. Somebody shout amen tonight. And what a time that will be when we go sailing through the air. When the Lord catches his bride away, when the trumpet sounds, it's called the rapture and you don't want to miss it. Now, as we consider Article 13, and what we believe about the end times, I want to show you tonight how not to miss the rapture. Don't you hate to miss things? For example, you're rushing and the elevator doors are open, and about the time you get to the elevator, the door closes. Don't you hate to miss that? You're at the ball game and the score is close and tight, and you look away. And all of a sudden, the team makes a home run and you missed it. Don't you hate to miss things? How about this? You get a sales flyer in the newspaper or in your mailbox, and it says from that your favorite item has been discounted 50% off. And you get so excited until you read that it was today from 9 to 12 and it's 1 o'clock. Don't you hate to miss things? These things are aggravating. But let me tell you something you don't want to miss. Because it's more than aggravating, it's devastating if you miss the rapture and the coming of the Lord. And make no mistake about it, there will be carnal people. There will be people who are so engrossed in this world. There will be sinners. There will be people who will miss the rapture. And I don't want to miss the rapture. I've got my bags packed up. I'm ready to go up. I'm ready to meet the Lord in the air. I'm watching and I'm waiting for His soon return. And if you don't want to miss the rapture, I want to give you three things tonight. Number one, acknowledge the coming of the Lord. Just simply, if you want to make the rapture, the first thing you've got to do is acknowledge that He's coming. A lot of people don't believe that He's coming. Oh, we've been hearing about that all our life. And I do have to tell you that I was a child of the 70s and the 80s, more the 80s than the 70s. I was born in 71. But I remember in the late 70s and the middle 80s, they preached on the coming of the Lord, and it scared me to death. I'm telling you, anytime I thought, many times I would try to find out if I was left behind, because I just felt like I was going to, I just knew, this was in 1983 and 84, I was going to graduate from high school in 1989. I thought, there's no way I'll ever see high school graduation. The Lord is sure to come. No way I'll ever graduate from college. No way I'll ever get married. I mean, the year 2000 was just unbelievable. We just thought the Lord was coming. And you know what? In the church today, we never talk, not us Westmoreland, but you never hear hardly any messages on the coming of the Lord. Why? Because we have not acknowledging the fact we've gotten away from it, and we need to get back to it. We need to get back to our roots, because a church that's looking for the coming of the Lord will also be looking for souls to be saved, because He is coming. Somebody say amen tonight. Go ahead and give Him a hand of praise tonight. Acknowledge that He's coming. Oh, hallelujah. Now, one of the things that has happened, and I've seen this in the Pentecostal church, it was undeniable we believed in the rapture. There's some people now in the Pentecostal church who don't believe in the rapture. Now, they believe the Lord is coming, but not like we say He's coming, pre-tribulation, premillennial rapture. So why do we believe in the rapture, that it could happen at this moment? Now go to 1 Corinthians 15 and I'll show you three things that people are confused on. And it's because, theologically, some people point to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. And they say, well, the rapture is not going to take place to the end of the tribulation period. Now, let me stop right here and say this. There's coming a 7-year tribulation period. I don't have time to explain it tonight. It is in the book of Daniel, and it's also in the book of Revelation. 7 years of hell on earth, divided into 2, 3.5 the first, 3.5 the second. And after that tribulation period, the Lord is going to set up that millennial kingdom. But we believe the rapture is going to take place before the tribulation begins proper. That doesn't mean that there's not tribulation going to happen. Some of you had tribulation today on the way to church. We do believe that we're going to, you know, all church ages have had to deal with some tribulation. But the official tribulation, brother, we're out of here for that. But people say, no, because look, brother, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Are you there? Say amen. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the what trump? Oh, well, I've read the book of Revelation, and there's the 7 bowls of judgment. There's the 7 trumpets there's 7, 7, and then the 7 trumpet judgments. And so the 7th trumpet sounds in the book of Revelation right at the end of the tribulation period. And they're saying, well, it says here that the rapture is going to take place at the last trump. So it must be the last trump of the book of Revelation. Can I tell you that those are 2 different trumpets altogether? Those trumpets in the book of Revelation has nothing to do with what the scripture is talking about here when it says the last trump. It is true that the book of Revelation, there will be 7 trumpet blasts to usher in the judgment of God. And so many say, look, the last trumpet has to refer then, so that there's no rapture before the tribulation period. But my friend, these are 2 totally separate trumpets. The last trump that is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15 is not the last trumpet of the book of Revelation. And how can this be interpreted? Well, some people have said the last trump of 1 Corinthians that I just read simply is this. It's the last trump Christians will hear in this world. It could mean that. It could mean the last trump for the church age. You know, every major move of God, there was a blasting of the trumpet in the Old Testament of Israel. And so this could be a figurative last trumpet as far as the church age is concerned. And perhaps there are two trumpet blasts. Maybe the first trumpet will be the dead rising. Maybe the second trumpet will be the living rising. I don't know how to explain exactly the terminology of the last trump, but I do know this. When you interpret Scripture with Scripture, the trumpets of Revelation is not the trump that Paul is talking about, because the Lord is definitely coming through other Scriptures, we know, at the beginning or before the tribulation period. So you get ready. It's not the trumpet of judgment that's going to be sounded and the dead rise and Jesus and the Christians rise through the air. It's the trump of the archangel and the living God, not to judgment but to glory. Somebody shout amen here tonight. Now there's some people that quote Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25. Daniel chapter 7 verse 25. There's people that use this scripture. It says, and he, the Antichrist, shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints. Oh, Brother Ricky, there's got to be, the church has to go through the tribulation, because it says the Antichrist will torment or fight against the saints. So if there's saints in the tribulation period, then that means the rapture doesn't take place at the beginning of the tribulation period. But my friend, there's a simple explanation for that, because I can explain this quickly and easily. The rapture takes the church, somebody say the church, out of the world. But that does not mean that during the tribulation period that there will be people who will get saved. Theirs are the saints. These are the tribulation converts. Oh, I had the fiercest battle in one of the churches I pastored. I had two or three people that just, man, when I said people were going to get saved in the tribulation period, they thought I was preaching absolute heresy. Until Terry Trammell came and said the same thing. And they love Terry Trammell. You mean to tell, I thought once the church was taken out, the Holy Spirit was gone and people couldn't get saved. Where do you find that in Scripture? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In fact, the tribulation period is not so that God can punish the world. It's His one last opportunity to make things so bad that people will come to know Him as Savior. Not everybody is going to get saved during the tribulation period. Many will take the mark of the beast. Many will have to die for their faith. But I'm telling you, when you read the book of Revelation and you read about the tribulation period, brother, there's coming a great revival in the tribulation period, and it's those saints that the Antichrist is going to afflict and torment, and some of them are going to be beheaded and given their lives for the cause of Christ. Brother, God will never stop saving people. He's in the saving business. And though the church may be gone, God's never gone. Amen. And people will turn to the Lord in masses. I personally believe that there's people in our church who hear the message of the coming of the Lord. And they're going to wake up one day and you're going to be gone. And you're going to be gone. And pastor's going to be gone. And Pastor Ricky's going to be gone. And they're going to realize, oh my God, I've missed the rapture. And many of them are going to fall on their knees and say, God, whether I die or whether I'm beheaded, I am going to serve you because I should have listened. I should have obeyed. Man, don't miss the rapture. Come on and get saved now. It's a whole lot better now. Come on, somebody shout amen tonight. Well, how do you know people are going to get saved during the tribulation period? Well, there's 144,000 Jewish evangelists. You remember the 144,000 that God separates? You've read the book of Revelation. Do you think that the Bible says they're going to go out and preach? Well, if nobody's going to get saved, then why send them out to preach? The Bible says in the book of Revelation that even an angel is going to fly through the heavens. I'd like to see that on fake news network. Come on. They hate Donald Trump, they're going to hate that angel. Donald Trump ain't nothing to that angel. Now, listen, angels don't preach the gospel now. But in the tribulation period, God has said, I'm so wanting people to get saved, and I want to convince them. I'm going to send an angel that's going to declare, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's going to be a Billy Graham angel. Not Billy Graham, but God's got the Jewish evangelists. God's got the angels. God's got others, Christians who've getting saved, who are telling people the good news. So please understand, don't tell me that the church is going through the tribulation just because the saints are in there. No, that proves what I'm trying to say. The church is going out at before that tribulation, and many people are going to get saved. Can you say amen? And then here's what some people say. Oh, you Christians that believe in the rapture, you're just escapist. You don't really want to stay and win the harvest. And you don't, you know, that's just escapism mentality, you know. And I've heard people say that. I've heard people on TV, on TBN, different places saying, you know, the believing of the pre-tribulation rapture, all it is escapism. You know, and I'm like, yeah, it is. That's exactly right. The Bible says, as the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Lord. Can I tell you something about Noah? He escaped. Brother, if you want to stay during the tribulation and deal with the Antichrist and not see your loved, precious Savior and the nail scars in his hand, if you feel such a burden to stay, I'm sure the Lord will accommodate and let you and fulfill you if you don't want to escape it. But I don't know about you. I want my wife gone. I want my family gone. I don't want to turn back like Lot's wife. When the Lord calls, brother, my personal job is over. He can take care of the rest. I do want to escape. I don't want to face those terrible things coming. Thank the Lord. That's why it's called the blessed hope. Thank the Lord that we've got hope. That I'm not looking for an undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Why don't you give him a proper hand clap? Amen. The rapture is about to take place at any moment, even now. And if you don't want to miss the rapture, then anticipate that he's coming now. Now, another question is, well, Brother Ricky, what is the rapture? Because a lot of people, critics, will say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, neither is the word Trinity in the Bible. And neither is your name in the Bible. But you're still here, aren't you? The word rapture is not in the King James Bible, but it's all over the Greek Bible. The Bible was written, when Paul wrote it, he wrote in Greek. Now, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16, I'm gonna give you why we believe in the rapture. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Remember, that trump of God is not the same trumpet as in the book of Revelation. All right. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be what? That word caught up comes from the Latin word rapto and the Greek word herpaso. H-E-R-P-A-S-O. Both mean a catching away, but not just a catching away, but a joyous catching away, a stealing away. So like a husband steals away a bride. And that's exactly what's going to happen. At the moment of the rapture, there's going to be such joy and ecstasy as we leave Earth's gravitational pull. In fact, let me explain it to you. Let me give you four instances in the Greek where the rapture is used in the Greek, though not translated in the English. Now go to Acts chapter 8, and this will describe what's going to happen when the rapture takes place. What's going to happen to our clothes? What's going to happen? I don't care. You think I care about these clothes? I know we're not going to go up there nude. I mean, God's going to clothe us with something. Amen? Acts chapter 8, verse 39. It says, and when they were come up out of the water, are y'all there? Say amen. The Spirit of the Lord did what? Caught away Philip. That the eunuch saw him no more. Did you know Philip had a little little cursor to the rapture that we're all going to have? Amen. See, what happened to Philip? He was just gone. The eunuch saw him no more. Philip baptized him and poof. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord caught him away and planted him on another place to continue preaching. Friend, that word called away is in the Greek rapto, herpasio, which means a joyous catching away. What's going to happen at the rapture? We're going to be serving the Lord like Philip, and boom, we're going to be gone. Amen? And the word rapture means to snatch away speedily. Snatch away speedily. That's what happened in Acts chapter 8, he was snatched away speedily. Say that with me. Snatched away speedily. Now go to John chapter 6, verse 15. You'll see another instance or description of the rapture. It says in John 6 and verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force. Now here it says they were coming to Jesus and they're going to seize him and take him by force and make him a king. Now, the words to seize and take by force or take by force are the same words that are translated caught up in other places. So what does that mean? It means not the grave nor gravity will be able to hold us. We're going to be called away. We're going to be taken by force. Hallelujah. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Ain't nothing going to hold me now. I'm going to be seized upon and taken by force. May the force be with. Brother, you talk about the force. That's the rapture. And it's coming by force. God's going to do it. Can you say amen? Amen. One of these days we're going to be snatched away speedily. Say amen. One of these days we're going to be seized by force and taken away. Say amen. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is another interesting translation of rapture from the Greek. And I didn't know this. I was like, man, this is powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away. Somebody say carried away. That's also translated rapture. So what is the rapture? To be seized upon by force. To be snatched quickly. Or to be carried away. And then go to Acts chapter 23 and verse 10. Acts 23 and verse 10. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded his soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him to the castle. So the phrase take him by force is the same word translating rapture. And here's what it means. It's a little bit different. It means to rescue from danger. That literally translated, they rescued him from danger. Paul was in danger. And some people came and seized him and took him by force. And oh, brother and sister, you know what the rapture is going to do for us? It's going to rescue us from danger. I wish somebody would say amen tonight. We're going to be called away speedily. We're going to be taken by force. We're going to be carried away. And we're going to be rescued by danger. Brother, you can stay in this world if you want to. But I'm anticipating the soon coming of the Lord. And I get carried away when I get carried away. Somebody shout glory! Amen. First of all, if you don't want to miss the rapture, just acknowledge the Lord's coming. Say amen. Amen. But then number two, not only know that he's coming, but anticipate his coming. That takes it to a next level. I don't just know in my head he's coming. I'm anxious about his coming. I'm praying for his coming. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus is coming in the twinkling of an eye. Someone said that the average human blinks 20,000 times a day. Did you know that? The average human blinks 20,000 times a day. That gives you 20,000 chances to be out of this world. Amen? You got 20,000 chances tomorrow in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, brother. Hallelujah. People come up with crazy stuff about the coming of the Lord. You know, preachers, I've heard preachers say, well, I don't preach on the coming of the Lord and the end times because there's so many opinions. No, there ain't. There's only one opinion, the right opinion. The Bible says rightly divide the word of truth. Don't come up with some of this far off stuff you've heard on some website somewhere. Listen, I praise God for people like John Hagee. I listened to him preach the other day, and brother, he preaches the rapture. I thank God for Perry Stone. Man, these are people, and they're ridiculed. But I'm telling you, I'm in harmony with that. These people are preaching the word of God. Don't let somebody tell you that, oh, we're going to go through the tribulation. Oh, we're not going to be raptured. Listen, I can agree to disagree, but listen, at the end of the day, you're wrong, and I'm right. Amen. Because he's coming. And by the way, if I'm wrong, I'm harmlessly wrong. If the Lord does delay his coming to the end of the tribulation, what harm is that going to do to me? But if you're wrong, you're dangerously wrong, because you might miss the greatest event of your life. So brother, let's anticipate that 20,000 chances that he may come. You see, if the rapture is going to take place at the middle of the tribulation, we can kind of figure out when he's coming. Because we'll know when the tribulation begins. The Antichrist will come on the scene. And that's another sermon for who is the Antichrist and what will he do? Well, there's a lot the Bible says, and we can talk about that later. But understand this, that once the tribulation starts, and you'll know it, 3.5 years, people say, well, the Lord is going to come in the middle of the tribulation. Well, then that takes away the element of surprise. And then some people say he comes at the end of the tribulation. Well, all you got to do is say, well, 7 years from today, the Lord is coming. But listen, if we believe he is coming imminently, right now, before this service is over, do you think that will affect your life? It will affect your life. These people who put the Lord's coming way off, it affects their life too in the wrong way. The Bible says we're told to wait for his coming. Somebody say, wait for his coming. Mark chapter 13, verse 35. Now, I'm reading from the Living Bible. Now, you're seeing the King James. But it says in Mark 13, 35, we're to wait for his coming. It says, keep a sharp lookout, for you do not know when I will come, an evening or midnight, early dawn or late daybreak. Don't let me find you sleeping. Watch for my return. This is my message to you. Watch. We are to watch. We are to wait. We are to anticipate that any moment. Don't be sleeping. Don't be playing on the internet. Don't be laying out of church. Don't let the cares of this life. There's nothing wrong with having a condominium. There's nothing wrong with having a boat. There's nothing wrong with playing golf. But my brother, the Lord is coming. Don't you delay the work of the Lord for your trivial things. You better be ready and be looking out for his return. Say amen. We're told to not only wait for his coming, we're told to wash for his coming. What do you mean by that? Go to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. This is another translation, the GW translation, the God's Words translation. After all, God's saving kindness has appeared for the benefit of all people. It trains us to avoid ungodliness, live lives filled with worldly desire, so that we can live self-controlled, moral, and godly lives in this present world. At the same time, we can expect what we hope for, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, the appearing of the Lord will help us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, and get be like I was in the 80s. Man, I'm telling you. One of the things that sanctified me was to know that, hey, I don't need to lie. I don't need to cheat. I don't need to try to date some girl and do things and stuff like that. I need to, because I don't want to be, caught in sin. You know, they were radical back then. They, back then, this is controversial. Y'all please tell me you love me after this. But back in those days, you didn't go to the movies in a Pentecostal church, holiness church. Because you know why? You don't want the Lord to come back while you're in the theater. Let me tell you something. They were on to something back then. They were on to something. I'm not telling you it's wrong to go to movies. And I do believe that the Lord will take you if you're ready. I can be in a movie and be waiting for the Lord's return at any moment. I promise you. Amen. Now look at Luke chapter 12, verse 42. As long as it's not a bad movie. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 12, verse 42 says, "And the Lord," now this is from the New Living Translation. So you read along. It says, "And the Lord replied, a faithful, sensible servant is one whom his master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that servant has done a good job, there will be a reward." Verse 44. "I will tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all that he owns." Verse 45. "But what if that servant thinks, My master won't be back for a while. And he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut that servant in pieces and banish him with the unfaithful. Friend, we need to wait for his return, and we need to wash and stay clean, because he may come. Amen? And then we're told to not only wash and wait, we're told to work in light of his return. Go to Luke chapter 19, verse 12. Luke chapter 19, I'm telling you how not to miss the rapture tonight. How not to miss the rapture? Work for the Lord. Look at Luke 19, verse 12 through 13. If you're there, say amen. He said, this is from the King James, by the way. Okay. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, what? Until I come. We are to, because the Lord is coming. And you know, people have abused the doctrine of the coming of the Lord. How so? They have gone the far extreme of, he's coming any minute. We better hoard up food. We better batten down the hatches. We better not buy any property and build a church because, you know, I'm like, I don't care, you know. We better not do anything. We better not, win the loss. We better keep our own selves straight. No. If you know the Lord is coming and you know that tribulation is following, then you have an obligation in light of his return and not to miss the rapture yourself to work for him. You need to teach classes. You need to witness to your neighbor. You need to witness on your job. You need to tell people, compel them to come to the house of the Lord. If you're a singer, you need to practice. If you're a preacher, you need to preach and pray. We have a work to do. The Lord is coming. And if you'll stay busy working, the Bible says you are blessed when he comes and finds you working. I don't want to be a lazy Christian. I don't want to be, because somebody offended me sitting at home watching TV. And my Lord, the rapture's taking place, and I ain't got nobody to go with me, and I just might myself get left behind. Come on now, this is old-fashioned preaching. We've got to stay busy for the Lord. There's a work to be done. There's a harvest to reap. If you don't want to miss the rapture, roll up your sleeves and say, I'm going to work until the work is done. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to preach, pray. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to be a blessing to someone. I'm going to keep right on. So when he comes, he didn't find me lazing around, all about me, eating popcorn, while the world's going to hell. By the way, nothing wrong with eating popcorn, by the way. It always tickles me when I come out of the sanctuary and sometimes the children's church, I smell popcorn. Somebody say amen. Oh, the rapture, we believe, will take place at any moment. And if you don't want to miss the rapture, number one, anticipate the coming of the Lord. Also acknowledge the coming of the Lord. And then, point number three, if you don't want to miss the rapture, accept the Lord who is coming. The best way not to miss the rapture is to be saved and be saved right now. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and I'm telling you, if you don't know him as your Savior and the rapture comes, it's going to be a sad, sad, tough, bad time. But tonight, the invitation is given. If you don't want to miss the rapture, accept the Lord who is coming. Some years ago, a minister in Florida had to meet some friends there at a train station. And he put his friends, or at least put some friends, on a train. And after he put the friends on the train, he bid them farewell. He stayed there just to watch for a while. And another train came in, and he was just watching. He was just a student of human nature. And he saw when the train came in that people got off the train, and he watched those glad reunions. He saw mothers and fathers as they would go embrace their children who had been riding that train. He saw husbands and wives as they would meet, and husbands coming back from business trips, and what a glad reunion there was. He saw sweethearts, and they would embrace and caress as they often do, and he, being a student of human nature, watched and he saw those glad embraces and glad reunions of those people coming off that train. But after a while, the crowds were gone. And then people began to get on the train. And everybody had gotten on the train except he saw a small group. He looked over there and there was a man in handcuffs. And his handcuffs had a chain on them that went to another man. And that chain was attached to a third man. And this man had a policeman in front of him. And a policeman behind him. And a policeman on this side. And a policeman on that side. And they were putting him on a train to take him to prison. There was a young wife who was there and a little girl who was there. And the preacher just looked for a while, and as they made their way to the steps, the woman started and a police held her back, and another said, "No, let her." And she came and put her arms around the neck of her husband who was in chains. And she wept on his shoulder. And the little girl was there, got her daddy who was in chains, got by his knees, and she began to cry. And she said, "Don't take my daddy. Don't take my daddy. Please don't." But after a while, one of those policemen took the arms of that woman from around the neck and gently removed the little girl and the preacher. I saw them as they went to the stairs of that train, and I thought, just one train to so many people that brought joy and happiness. But that same train brought judgment and separation to that family. And my friend, the coming of the Lord is just like that. It's going to bring joy and gladness as we join around the throne. But the coming of the Lord will also bring judgment and death. And I want you to accept the Lord who is coming. Would you stand with me tonight? Would you stand with me tonight? And Pastor can join me as I begin to play. Can you lift your hands in anticipation? What if the rapture takes place right now? Don't you want to be caught working? Amen. He is Lord. Help me sing tonight.
He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. And He is Lord. Every knee shall
It's going to bow.
Every tongue confess that
if you want to serve the Lord with all of your heart, would you lift your hands up to Him tonight? Are you anticipating His coming? Oh, Lord, we know that You're soon to come. If you don't know the Lord tonight, in fact, I want everyone just to bow your heads right now. This is a time for us to get real with the Lord tonight. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior tonight, I'm here to tell you the Lord is coming. And you don't want to be left behind. Ask Him into your heart. He came the first time so that you could leave the next time. Just pray, dear Lord Jesus, everybody, dear Lord Jesus, I know You're coming and I'm not ready tonight. Please forgive me of all my sins. I receive You as my Lord and Savior. And I thank You for the promise that I'll not be left behind. And I'll give You the praise for it in Jesus' name. Now give Him a hand of praise tonight if you've accepted the Lord. Now how many of you are going to work for the Lord? You believe the Lord is coming?
Yes.
Are you doing something for Him? If you want to do a work for Him, I want you to sing it again as Pastor closes the service.
For He is Lord.
The Bible says Christ was once offered. to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So the Bible also says, if you then be risen with Christ, if you've been saved, set your affection on things above and not upon the things of this earth. In Christ, which is our life, when he shall appear, we're going to disappear. We're going to appear with him in glory. Is there anybody in here tonight that you have drifted away from God? The Lord is checking you a second time now. And you need to make things right with the Lord. He could come at any time. You may not have been here for the sermon on the rapture, the coming of the Lord, and ways to escape it. And the way you escape it, he's coming for a church, a glorious, triumphant,
hallelujah,
victorious church, without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. Are there any blemishes in your life? Is there any sin that you have committed recently that is not under the blood? Are you sure that you're sure? Because he is coming. But he's coming for a peculiar people, a separated people, a sanctified people, a church that is ready, that's anticipating his return. Unto them that are looking. I know we got things to do, but we've all got things to do. But the most important thing you can ever do is to make your calling and your election sure. I have to do that every day. I don't live with sin consciousness. I live with son consciousness. I'm conscious of the fact that he is my Lord. But if you've drifted away, I'm giving a third appeal now. Pastor Rick has given one. This is my second one. I want you to come, and I want you to say, Lord, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to miss the rapture. I don't want to miss it when you come for your church. And I want my heart right, Lord, so I can live with you. And we're going to sing this and give you this opportunity. He is Lord.
For he is Lord.
Anybody else, you want to make sure that everything is right between you and the Lord. Hallelujah. Every knee's going to bow and confess. Every tongue's going to confess Jesus.